At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Live from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air from behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub. I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar, he's jumped off of one bandwagon and right onto another one. He is the fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Mean green, mean green, mean green.
His journey to Colts fandom lasted all of one half of one game. That was about the time that he realized he was done with them because they were losing.
I had my eighth fumble then.
Yeah, after the eighth fifth turnover.
Colts with a big move today.
Oh man, yeah, that was. I knew.
Your thoughts on this trade? By the way, I'm curious.
I don't know. I mean, I guess they want to win now.
Yeah, two first rounders seems like a lot. I get giving up A.D. Mitchell,
but here's the thing: the Colts have never done this.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah,
and so he's always talking about keeping draft cap. I don't really want draft capital. I want guys that I know can play, and I know that he can play.
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. Like, I feel like he's given us two really good years, his rookie and sophomore seasons. Other than that, and I'm going to blame this on just being part of the Jets organization and just saying, screw it, I'm done, because he's proven he can play. But we haven't seen that same Sauce Gardner in a couple years. And it probably has a lot to do with the Jets. And, like, I get, like, his attitude issue up there, and Aaron Glenn hates him and all this. But it's like, if I was part of the Jets, I'd have an attitude issue too.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I think it's going to work out great for the Colts.
Shut down a couple of my wide receivers in fantasy
And it was I knew they were going to make a move defensively.
Uh-huh.
I thought they would try to make some sort of a splash because that's not what they usually do, but there'd been some rumblings. I did not expect it to be that, but I think the defense, man, if they're healthy, now that defense is going to be very difficult to deal with.
I absolutely agree with that. They are a handful.
They clearly think they have a chance to win now.
Oh, yeah, they're 7-2, and, you know,
and so
tied for the best record in – with the Broncos.
And they needed some, you know, they needed another pass coverage guy, and they got him. So yeah. I'm happy. You know, we'll see how it works out, but on paper, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate it. I don't know if I love it. I don't hate it. It's probably going to work out great for the Colts because I do think that he's shown that he can be that guy.
And hopefully he gets to Indianapolis and he's in an actual professionally run franchise that knows what they're doing. And, you know, maybe that's just the little kick in the ass that he needs to return to his former Pro Bowl glory.
Yeah. Your environment's everything, man.
So that was great news. Just broke earlier this afternoon. It's kind of a weird day here in Louisville if you're not from here. We had a plane go down over at the big airport, Stanford or Muhammad Ali International. Just a kind of a weird evening.
UPS hub, right? Biggest hub in the world, correct?
It's their world headquarters. Apparently, it was a UPS plane, which there are
hundreds over your house.
Every 30 seconds. Hundreds of them fly out of here every day. And unfortunately, had one go down. It's we got a shelter in place order right now.
We're all abiding by it, on its way to Honolulu, Hawaii. Yes, as Tuna said, think of how much fuel was in that plane.
Oh yeah, I know. And the plume of smoke was something that I've never seen before. It made a very eerie drive home this afternoon.
And we're all close to the airport. I mean, we're right. What, a mile from it?
It's
Churchill Downs.
As the crow flies, we're what, probably a little more than 2 miles from.
Yeah,
the,
everything, from the everything that the Louisville's all about is right by there.
So, a weird day, you know. I don't want to speculate on, you know, anything other than the fact that we know the plane went down and it doesn't look good and
tragedy.
We'll find out more about that as the days and weeks go on.
Can I ask Tuna something?
Sure.
No.
How do you think I look in mean green? Is it a new look?
It looks kind of like an Eagles hat at first glance. I didn't know if you like borrowed one of your buddy Martin's hats.
Did you notice that I also have a new drink?
You are. It does look like St. Patrick's Day over there.
Called the Mean Green White Claw Apple. And I highly recommend it. So it's a new day for me. I'm, Bama's.
That sounds absolutely terrible.
Taking a little break, and I'm following my group of five, one of my favorite group of five teams.
Do you know their quarterback, the freshman?
Yeah.
He was the backup to our backup quarterback, Deuce Adams, in high school.
Was he really?
Yeah.
So, wow.
The kid that I've been trying to get on the field forever, he is that kid who's leading the nation in passing.
Yes.
Was his backup down in Nowhere, Texas.
That's crazy. Nowhere, Texas.
Tuna train here, Tuna.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
It's happened again.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Your beloved Dodgers. Have won. Really, I mean, that World Series had everything, man. It was awesome. I didn't have a rooting interest, really. So I wanted it to go 7 games. It did. The 7th game. Sometimes 7th games live up to the hype. Sometimes they don't. This one certainly did. It had... I thought the Blue Jays won.
Mm-hmm.
On the play at the plate.
Yeah.
A
cleat. They had several chances.
A freaking cleat. They won
a few times.
If they called that safe on the field, I think there wasn't any evidence to overturn that.
It was
that.
So close.
Yeah.
It was so close. But, Tuna, I mean, you can talk about the minutiae. You can talk about big picture, whatever you want. This is your time to talk about your Dodgers being world's champions.
I'm not going to pound this too much, man. It's just I know a lot of the majority of the world's on Dodger fatigue. I'm not. I don't think I ever will be. I don't even really know what to say about this. I know when it came. Let's go back to just Friday night, that game.
Yeah.
For Justin Dean, who had just come into the game and has played very little this year, just comes into the game, for that ball to go under the wall and get trapped in there.
Never seen that.
And
like
for
that.
Him to have the wherewithal to throw his hands up and not even try to grab it. Because if he goes and grabs that ball and throws it in 2-run score, you know what I mean? He threw his hands up for the ruling ground rule double.
Yeah.
That saved the damn game.
Yes, it did.
For him to have the guts to just turn around instead of playing the ball and throw his hands up, I mean, that series could have ended that night.
Because they may or may not have made that call. Like, he didn't know if they were going to make that call.
And he had just gotten the damn game.
Yeah.
So, credit to him, man. And I just couldn't imagine being in that situation and making the right decision with that. Like, and I tell you right now, I guarantee Toronto raises their pads up about 4 inches next year.
Yeah,
off that field.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
that's not supposed to happen in your own building.
That
no.
was just one of many insane little like, what bitty are the things that happened. In
odds
these
of that
games.
Ball to have the direct arch it's to insane. Lodge into that wall. Insanity.
It was just one of what 15 different strange. Dude, what are we still on that game?
No, I mean we could move on. That was the main moment in game
like,
two,
you got
just,
two, like
or game six.
You got the play at the plate where everyone's going ah.
Yeah.
What about when the two guys run when they run into each other?
Are you kidding me?
Páez,
good for him. Center fielder always gets the call. You know, they take
right.
priority
yep.
over everything. And, Kiki, and he's like, I'm taking this damn ball.
And Kiki fell
yeah.
gracefully, the I guess you could say,
yeah.
without messing him up. Just
which, by the way, Kiki, all-time post-game interview from the clubhouse in the celebration. Maybe one of the best ever. And great speech at the parade. But no, you add that on, and then
so many emotional swings.
Well, this whole series has just been – it's not even just down to the game seven. It was like you go all the way to the 18-game inning, like – or 18-inning game, everything that could have happened in that game.
Right.
And then you roll into this.
And what was his name? Schrader, who was the last guy. And then the next game, he hits a freaking home
Schroeder,
run.
Yeah.
Like
you,
Schroeder, yeah.
You texted about him. You're like, this Schroeder guy in the glasses.
Yeah.
And you know, and then, like, right, he was the first guy up. And then
yeah.
lead-off home run.
Insane.
And then followed up directly by back-to-back, Vlad hit him. It was two home runs and three pitches. I'm
okay,
like, well, this game's
I'll
over.
I'll throw another one at you.
Yeah.
What
but,
about Yamamoto,
well,
who pitches 90-something
well, first of
pitches
all,
and then comes in
this
the
is
next day?
The performance that he had, I feel like I'm going to make you say his name correctly today.
Okay.
Yoshinobu.
Yamamoto.
Nailed it.
No relation to Tojo.
Nope. When you have a performance like that.
Tojo Yamamoto, by the way, was from Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
But his gimmick was as of a Japanese person.
Hawaii,
yeah, doesn't sound like
Hawaii
a Samoan
will be
name.
Mentioned again later on in the show. Mm.
And no, his performance, he got three wins in this series. Three wins in a seven-game series.
Wow.
Just stop and think about that.
Two earned runs.
For him to come in, like, after pitching. First of all, he went to the bullpen the other night after pitching, you know, in the 18-game inning.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the night before the 18-inning right. game. And he comes in, he's ready to pitch in that one if he needed to. And then he pitches the day before and then comes right back in and closes this thing out and gets the win.
What's up with these guys from Japan?
Dude, their work ethic is just something.
And they're made of rubber.
It's just different, man. Like, what these guys put into getting their bodies ready day in and day out, they show up and they spend 12 hours there, like, just getting their bodies right. Like, I remember when he first signed with the Dodgers, and Johnny was over here, and he was kind of making fun of him throwing those javelins. In spring training.
Yeah.
And I think I made a comment. I was like, throwing javelins in the spring so he could throw darts in the summer. But, like, he has, like, just a different approach than, like, most guys have. And a lot of these Japanese guys, man, the way that they're coming to the major leagues, like, prepared as what they are, is insane. But credit to him, man. And I honestly feel terrible for the Blue Jays fan base, the Blue Jays players,
yeah.
the you know, every Schneider.
We're also Toronto Maple Leaf fans.
Yeah, well, they got a whole
heartbreak.
They got an entire hockey season to be disappointed. But, like, if any team deserved to win a World Series, man,
right.
it was that one.
Yeah.
They had so much damn fight.
Oh,
and to
man.
Lose in just the weirdest ways possible.
Yeah.
And credit, you know, to the Dodgers for playing through and not making enough mistakes to give that to him. And
I got to be honest with you, Tuna. Even I didn't have a rooting interest,
uh-huh.
but I felt bad for Toronto.
Oh my
when
God.
That game ended, I felt so bad.
You could hear it in the crowd, like just the gas just went out of that stadium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like you just felt it, and like I didn't know what to feel. First of all, I was going through it Saturday. Like I was not in a good place.
So did the bench clearing brawl do anything to get
buddy,
you moving around?
That guy, everything had me jacked up. The benches got rowdy there. They came out, and I'm like, all right, here we go.
I even forgot about that.
Yeah,
dude,
I know.
That's overshadowed by so
and
much.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I was wondering about that when I was going through the game.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Name and stuff. You know, it's 3-1 Blue Jays when that happened in the fourth inning.
Uh-huh.
Could that have been a momentum killer for them?
I don't think there was any momentum killers in this game.
Okay. No, you're right.
They had so much momentum. And then
very true.
I think the killer was Miguel Rojas, who hasn't even played in this series. You know, he's sitting there batting in the nine hole.
And he's pitching to my boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's getting ready to strike him out.
Yeah. And
I mean, it was the last pitch,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. It was a 2-2
count, I believe.
It
looked like he was falling down when he swung at it.
Yeah.
Like he was headed to the dugout.
I've watched a lot of Miguel Rojas. I have not seen that come out of him. And I just want to put this in perspective. He was going to have to swing his bat. The velocity on his swing was going to have to hit 111 miles an hour to catch that ball. He has not had a swing all year long
that
even got close to that number. That shows what adrenaline does, dude.
True.
Like, and for him to come around and connect on that ball.
Did somebody not hit a home run off, like, the grip of their bat in that game? I thought I saw someone hit one where maybe it was Guerrero.
Muncy. Oh,
where it hit
Vlad.
Off, like, down by his fingers and went.
Yeah.
All the way to, like, it was insane.
Yeah.
I want to Yamamoto, 3-0, 2 earned runs, 15 Ks in 17 innings pitch. That's amazing.
Yeah. He deserved that
MVP.
He does definitely deserve that MVP. It was incredible.
And Ohtani, you know what?
And I'm glad that they gave it to a rightful person, not like the NFL does sometimes where they just give it to whoever the quarterback is that wins the game. Like, in baseball, it seems like more often than not, they get that right.
Yeah.
Blue Jays had 34 hits in this World Series, Dodgers 26.
Yep.
Also, the batting average for the Dodgers was .203.
It's crazy.
Is that insane?
Yeah. And, you know, Ohtani's
the only one that batted over 300.
Yeah. And he didn't even really show up in these at the plate in these last couple games. Really, on the mound either. He kind of got roughed up in the 2-1 inning. You know, 5 hits and 3 runs is what he allowed.
Isn't that what's cool about baseball, how you can have that last pitch? Mm-hmm. Game 7, pitch can go either way. You can literally win the game. I mean, you can't do that.
I don't think there's anything as exciting as elimination baseball in a close game. Like, I think it's the anticipation between each play. You know, basketball is so boom, boom. You got some timeouts and some free throws where you stand up and you stress a little bit. But baseball, you have this, like, time frame of this, like, downtime where you're, like, stressing and on every pitch. It's just
– right.
There's
just,
something about
it
that just wraps you up,
the
man.
Best if
I don't,
when it's tight.
I don't think there's any sport that's ever come close to giving me a stroke like baseball. And I mean that. Like, there was times I thought about
but
checking my blood pressure
and
throughout
maybe
the game.
Hockey and soccer, how, you know, the ball and the puck flings around and it can just
Yeah.
You know, you can score from very quickly in a crazy situation. Mm-hmm. But baseball, I mean, I've never seen so many crazy things. I was at a costume party. Sorry, mm-hmm. Tuna. I wasn't on it as tense as you were, but there were about, out of the 60, 70 people there, there were 30 dudes, like, right on the TV. Yeah. And women as well that were just like, we cannot continue partying. We have to watch this.
That's good. I like seeing baseball get some love like that.
I was, in fact, not at a costume party. I was planted on the couch right there,
yeah,
watching it on the big screen,
yeah,
with the sound turned all the way up.
You ever watch a sporting event? You spent the whole game like leaning forward, and like when you go to stand up, your legs aren't working, and everything. You feel like you just did 1,000 squats.
Did you do a face dive?
Could have. I got real close. Like everything was going through me. But to put a bow on this, I just want to. There was nothing better to me than Louisville's own Will Smith coming up to the plate.
How about that?
And knocking that out and solidifying himself as a Dodger legend and a local Louisville legend now.
For sure.
And the fact that he has not, like, he's a 2-time World Series champion and he doesn't have a Louisville's Will Smith poster hanging up anywhere in this city. I know, but he's got to win 3 World Series to get there. That should have been hung up years ago. He's been an all-star. I mean, what are we doing?
You're right.
What are we doing?
You're right.
He has to be the most overlooked athlete from the city of Louisville.
I mean, Griff only won one NCAA championship.
Right. Yeah. Right. Justin Thomas is hanging right there on the Waterson Expressway with one PGA championship.
I don't even know if Wes Unseld has anything up here.
He does.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, I honestly believe he's probably the most unsung Louisville athlete that's out there. When you look at his list of accomplishments and, like, how
That's
little
he's
people
chill Will.
So many people didn't even know he was from Louisville.
Where did he go to high school?
I know.
KCD.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that.
Well, here's the thing, and we talked about this on the show.
I remember now.
The only reason he went there, it's not like he's a little rich kid.
Played basketball too.
He his mom taught there. I don't know if she's still there or not.
How old is he, by the way?
He is 28, I believe, maybe close to 30.
If he played basketball at KCD and he's about that old, we kicked their ass back then. We beat him 4 straight times when he would have been playing
maybe
basketball.
That's why he doesn't have a sign yet.
No, but no, it was awesome, man. I mean, it just, like we said, game sevens or something about it in every sport, but something about the ebb, like you said, Tuna, the ebbs and flows of a baseball game, the rhythm that a baseball game has, and then everything just keeps getting ratcheted up a little bit higher as the innings tick away and they tick away, and it's a little bit higher and a little bit higher, and you get in a 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th inning, and it's just every pitch is live or die. I can't imagine if it was my team.
Yeah.
In that, I was nervous as hell watching it, and I literally didn't care who won.
My phone throughout the course of that game was going crazy by almost every person that knows me, and I eventually just chucked it. And I was like, I'm not even looking at this phone again. And I don't think I looked at my phone until, like, maybe about noon the next day when I had to get my fantasy lineup set up. But it was just like, I can't do this. I can't look at these text messages. It was just like, I'm losing it. So, yeah.
But that was awesome. And we got a whole nother, how many days till pitchers and catchers report, Tuna?
Oh, man, I usually know this right out of the gate, but February, like, yeah, I'll have a number for you next week.
Okay. Yeah. So that puts a bow on the baseball season. We are now really in the stretch run to college football, I guess, begins now.
4 more weeks left, right?
Yeah, with the first playoff show getting ready to come on.
Yeah,
here
it starts here in 20 minutes.
We'll have probably some live reaction to it as it's going on. Some teams possibly played their way back into the conversation. Some teams played their way out of the conversation last week. Let's start. I wanted to start because it was a game that I talked about last week. I thought that Vanderbilt, I mean, flat out, I said it on the program, I thought they would beat Texas. Vanderbilt played their worst defensive game of the year, got behind in horrific fashion. I sent Tuna a text like, well, you don't have to worry about Pavia being in the Heisman conversation anymore. And then all he did in the fourth quarter was like literally play like Joe Montana and John Elway. And they should have had the onside kick. There was three guys that had the onside kick, and there was no question in my mind that if they recovered that onside kick, they go down and win the ball game.
You know, what's funny is last week when you were talking about it, I said I could give a shit about this game. And the reason I said that is because both those teams played some ugly-ass football up to that point, and I thought it was going to be one of the ugliest damn football games. Not even a defensive battle, just an ugly-ass game. And damn it, if both of them didn't put on their best offensive performance of the season almost. Like, at the end right there.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I caught the fourth quarter of that just because – and I didn't think I was going to watch any of it. But it was – yeah, definitely – it surprised me, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, it was – I mean, and, you know, Arch Manning played great for most of the game.
I'll tell you what, with that, with the playing great, I think Sarkisian has learned how to work around his faults. He's like, I'm going to let you throw the ball 5 yards and let our athletes take over.
Kind of what, yes, because I had was talking to somebody that afternoon, and they actually said, wow, Arch Manning had a really good day. And I said, you know, his first 3 touchdown passes – and this is just, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, I'm kind of, you know, exaggerating a little bit. But I said, I bet you the combined forward yardage of his first 3 touchdown passes was like 6.5 yards.
Yeah.
Because it was like sideways, 3 yards, 4 yards type of thing.
Credit to Sark for, yeah, like, figuring out how to make this work a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely done a decent coaching job, and it's probably pulled his hair out a few times this
year. I agree completely. They're winning.
And
it ain't pretty.
On his resume,
but they're winning.
14-7 loss to Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
After all that, UK,
this is the closest game Ohio State's been a part of.
Well, totally. And now they've lost they have a Vandy and Ohio State or
Florida.
Florida and Ohio State lost, and now they've beaten, you know, Oklahoma and Vandy on their resume. And they've just trudged on.
Yeah, it ain't pretty, but winning's the name of the game.
It seems like they have way more than 2 losses.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just been, it's not pretty football, but damn it. No. Like I said, all you got to do is win. That's
now,
it.
Let's talk about another team that took their second loss. Cristobal, as we have discussed ad nauseum on this program, and I think at one point this season, we thought maybe their talent would be enough to overcome that. It clearly has not been. And they lose. Miami loses 26-20 at SMU.
N-O-T.
Great win for SMU. Just a brutal, horrible loss for Miami.
And that,
we saw that
what
coming.
Did you guys think about that personal foul that was called right there? Where Reuben Bain comes up, it's what kept the drive alive for SMU.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
It's
no.
Like he stopped in that, midair, but it, like he grabbed him and like didn't let him hit the ground.
That honestly was one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
It was.
Yeah. And
I didn't like that at
all. You just reminded me of it. I remember, because I don't think I actually saw that play live. I was like bouncing between things, and I saw it later on Twitter, all I saw was personal foul allows SMU to continue the drive or whatever.
Right.
And then I saw the play later and I went, oh no.
Yeah.
But that, there was a few huge officiating gaffes.
Yeah.
I have no love for Clemson nor Dabo or anything.
That Duke, yeah, Clemson
but that
Duke
was
play was
the
ridiculous.
Worst play maybe I've
By
ever
far.
Seen.
That was pretty awful, yeah. Dude.
That again extended the game, allowed Duke to have an opportunity,
yes,
to win the game. I mean, it doesn't mean anything as far as the playoff or whatever, but I'm telling you,
it does mean something as far as the playoff. If you look, start looking at the tiebreakers for the ACC, where it's record of competition. So Louisville doesn't play Duke now. Playing Clemson with that win, or playing Miami, who was still up there,
right,
would help us surpass some of these teams in a tiebreaker scenario for the ACC championship.
Okay,
game.
Okay.
Because I think as of right now, if Louisville and Georgia Tech and Virginia go on and not lose, then Louisville gets left out by like something on like the eighth line of the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Deal.
Okay.
And that would have changed if Clemson would have beat Duke.
Yeah, and Duke, yeah.
And if Miami would have beat SMU. So that did play some factor.
And one of Georgia Tech's best win is Duke.
Yeah.
And Georgia Tech falls from the ranks of the unbeaten. Man, that
keep,
was.
Keep going. We got a lot of them.
That was a game that I was watching periodically, and every time I turned it on, NC State was running it down the field for touchdowns.
I mean,
CJ Bailey game, man.
With ease.
CJ Bailey game.
Tune and I were just talking about that, and we'll get more into this on my little thing I did here. But NC State has been a thorn in a lot of ACC schools' sides.
They are
moving up the ladder.
Dave Doran is like, screw it, I ain't going out
like
this.
To beat 5-4, yeah.
And remember, they're the only team to beat Virginia.
They beat Virginia.
In a non-conference game.
Yeah, they beat Virginia. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Satterfield got whooped. Utah just laid the absolute hammer down on them.
Utah
he
is
looks
hot.
So sad in his post.
We called that. We called that.
Yeah.
Well, some of us did.
I won on
some
that.
Of us didn't call that. Houston.
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 God, that was
man,
a letdown.
That,
at home.
Yeah,
dude, that's a horrible loss to lose to 3-7 Rich Rod. Give me a break on
Rich
already.
Rod is the he's the Big 12 version of Dave Doran this year because they beat Pitt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how'd that happen?
Right.
They beat Houston.
They beat Pitt and Houston.
Yeah. I don't.
Tulane and a clunker earlier before
the weekend. Yeah,
that was
just ugly football.
Another pathetic win when they, like we talked about last week, Tulane had the easiest window. All they had to do was beat Memphis this week. And now they're done. They're gone. And they lose to the Roadrunners.
Yeah.
Boise State laid an egg against Fresno. They choked. UNLV choked. To New Mexico. Like, all these teams that were, these group of five teams that were, Troy got their ass beat.
Yeah, it's
Hawaii,
looking like San Diego State.
Hawaii
might
was
get
6-2. Troy was 6-2. All those teams got their asses beat. The only one that won out of those group of fives is San Diego State and the Mean Green. I've never seen nothing like it, Travis. Keep going because
little James Madison keeps winning.
I know Travis watched the night game. That was another crazy SEC battle.
The
slugfest.
The Oklahoma-Tennessee game.
Yeah,
messy
game.
Tons of credit to Venables on this game. He got in. That was the worst that I'd seen Aguilar play this year. Like, that was. He got in his mess, man. He put him in a blender.
And that's what I was saying to Travis. Like, if you can go, like, Josh Heupel has not lost a night game in Tennessee very often.
Especially in those blackouts like
that. And for Oklahoma to be kind of, sir, you know, kind of, or where we weren't sure. We thought we were, they may be out of it. Well, and for them to go in there and it looked like Tennessee was going to win that game early on. And for them to play with some heart and come back and win that game showed a lot of moxie.
Well, that secondary is just kind of in shambles for Tennessee.
It is.
They got to get those guys healthy. I guess the one's out for the year. McCoy will be back, which at this point, I don't know if he'll come back. Yeah. He may just redshirt.
I mean, they got three losses.
Now, Fred, I know you've done some deep dive digging here into your top 25 or your whatever it was.
Well, what I did was I went in and I just was like having fun last night because I don't have ESPN. And but what a – we'll talk about TNT later on around the last call. But I went through my undefeateds. I went through my 1 through 13 one-loss teams and my 1 through 18 two-loss teams. And then I put their best win or wins and their worst loss. I mean, and their best loss. And after I put it all together and started looking at it, then I numbered them in order. My top four, and then I went into my other one, and then I was like, you know what? I think I can put the CFP together, like the literally the top 25. I don't know. I think you and I talked about these top four teams. Let's tell the audience who we think's the number one team, or should we wait?
Well, yeah. Well, I'll go on and say it. He'll hear it. I think the number one team should be Indiana.
I do, too.
Because they have a better resume than Ohio State.
Right. And, so, and what we mean by that, folks, is that Indiana's best wins are at Oregon and at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, after looking at Ohio State's best wins, which is Texas and Washington, and then Texas A&M's best win is
Notre Dame,
and BYU has a couple good ones, Utah, Iowa State, and a decent Arizona team, I think, that's playing well. Indiana has the best resume.
They should be number one on this poll,
right?
Tonight.
They have no losses. I think you go Indiana, Ohio State, Texas A&M, and BYU. And then as I looked at the other ones, you know, Bama would be in the one loss teams. Bama, yes, they have a bad Florida State loss, but they've beaten five ranked teams. That supersedes
no,
that
stretch run they went on where it was like, what, 5 weeks in a row?
Right.
And it also helps a lot that happened the first game
Game of the season.
You know,
you're right.
If that happened last week,
exactly,
it'd be a hell of a lot
worse
loss.
Hadn't it always been like that in college football? That's what I love. And then, you know, Georgia and Ole Miss have to be next. They both beat Georgia, beat Ole Miss.
I know
that's
we have to put Georgia
loss
there, but, man, this is just not.
Well, I mean,
they
Georgia's
weekend
best wins are Ole Miss, and that's a pretty good a win in Tennessee, which, you know.
No,
okay.
I'm with you. Like,
and
their
Ole Miss
wins
is Tulane in Oklahoma. So then you got to put Texas Tech. They've lost a decent Arizona State team, and they've beaten Houston and Utah. You know who Oregon's best win is?
It's nobody.
Rutgers.
Yeah.
They're
going to be tested this weekend.
They have a chance to have a – like, I don't care what anybody says. I think we talked about it last week.
This is a big game. Huge.
Is Iowa ranked right now? Or are they still not ranked?
I have Iowa kind of deep down in my two lost teams because their best win is Minnesota. So,
but they don't have any bad losses, right? Their only losses, they played
IU and Iowa State.
They played IU closer than anybody else has.
True.
And they lost barely at Iowa State.
That's true, yeah.
So they have no bad losses.
Right.
And they're playing as good as any of those
They are
middle tier teams, and there's no way they shouldn't be ranked in the top 25.
They are.
I went top 25.
And on mine, I went on down and had, after Oregon, I go Virginia, U of L, Georgia Tech. Now, I know Tuna thinks those are too high up.
Every ACC
team
is too
high. I'm trying to give
the
ACC some respect a little bit.
It's a one-bid league.
Georgia Tech's best win is Duke. Okay. U of L and Virginia are back and forth. So, Memphis has to be – Memphis has to be up there with a one loss. San Diego State, North Texas Navy, they're going to get skipped over. My two-loss teams may surprise you. My number one two-loss team is Texas. I mean, they have the best resume. They just beat Vandy in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. They've lost Ohio State 14-7. I don't care how you look at it. That was early on, but they played them the best.
That was first game of the year, yep.
And then, of course, they lost to Florida. Oklahoma beat Michigan, who's going to be ranked in this fairly high. They beat Michigan and Tennessee.
They
and
shouldn't
they,
be.
And then they lose to Ole Miss, and Texas A&M.
That's
so,
what we're running through with this. And this is an exercise I'd like to do for next week. Because you went through and you did all the teams based on numbers
right,
and what they
should
be.
Right, now we're going to do the
test. Want what you guys think the 12 playoff teams should be based on watching football.
Right.
And to answer your question, Iowa's 24 in the coaches poll and unranked receiving votes.
Okay. They haven't beaten anybody.
I think they'll be in the CFP.
They've got to get – Iowa has to get a good win. Minnesota is not good.
I think Iowa gets Oregon this week.
Now, if you look on here, Travis, this is an interesting one. So, you look like Michigan's best win, Washington. Okay, Washington's not bad.
And Michigan looked awful against Purdue
right.
this weekend.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Texas, Oklahoma, and Michigan, none of those three look good. Really, Notre Dame's probably playing a little bit better there. But Utah's the team that Tuna and I are pinpointing.
I think
Utah is hot.
Big 12, if it ended right now, they get three teams in the playoff, and Utah's the third, in my opinion.
They've lost to Texas Tech and BYU.
That's as good as it gets.
And their big win is Cincy, who was ranked in the almost top 10.
And they're playing.
And they drubbed them. So they may have the best resume. Like, Missouri's best win is Auburn. USC's best win is Michigan, but they lost to Illinois. And then you go to Washington, Pitt, Houston, Tulane, UNLV, Cincy, Miami, South Florida, blah, blah, blah. You get on further down
Washington
there.
Is better than Michigan right now.
I agree with you. But
right
their,
now.
Their best
but,
win
but,
is Illinois.
But I say that, and everybody's going to go, well, they lost to them head-to-head. I get that.
Right.
That was a horrible game for them.
They lost to Michigan and Ohio State. Those are their two losses, and they beat. And another problem is, they have a huge game this week. They play somebody pretty
Michigan?
Good, I think. Washington.
Oh, yeah, they do. No, they don't. They
oh,
play
they
Wisconsin.
Don't? Oh, never mind. Wrong one.
It's the battle of the W's.
No. But anyways, if you go through there, so that's how – so I went ahead and did my playoff, my 1 through 25. We're not going to list it. We're not going to go over it. But you kind of see where I'm coming from, where – Tuna and I have Indiana number one, Ohio State number two. I don't think they're going to do that. Mm-hmm. And then you go down through 1 through 9, BYU, Bama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas Tech, Oregon, and I have Virginia 10th. Now, Tuna's saying, no way that Virginia, U of L, Georgia Tech, and Memphis in that 10 through 13, they're probably going to put my 14 through 18 up there. Mm-hmm. Texas, Oklahoma, Michigan, Notre Dame, and Utah. And Iowa.
Notre Dame definitely over them.
So those big boy blue bloods are going to move over those ACC teams, even though I think the ACC should get a little respect. They have one loss. That's why I put them there, you know. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it was just Miami that was carrying the water for the ACC.
Right.
And Georgia Tech was as well.
And SMU's kind of –
and
come up now.
Well, yeah, but
better,
their non-conference record was so awful.
Their loss to Wake Forest kills. It
yeah.
Just was,
and their non-conference was just.
Right. Remember we said that
terrible.
Early on. We knew their record
so,
was not going to be good.
Yeah. Once Georgia Tech and Miami fell, it was kind of like, all right, Well, the ACC is back to the ACC again.
Right, but it, but it's all Memphis, Tulane this weekend, BYU, Texas Tech, that Iowa, Ohio State. These are huge games.
Georgia at Mississippi huge State games. Is a huge game.
Yes, yes. So it's going to be fun, man. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You're not hyped about the Citadel at Ole Miss?
No.
Okay. Figured I'd check.
I'm pretty hyped about
A&M at Missouri.
A&M
at Missouri is going to be a game.
Who is the intern for LSU? Who's the interim coach?
I have no idea.
Well, you know, if they follow the same pattern as some of these teams, they're going to be better.
They ought to go get that strength and conditioning coach that everybody keeps talking about that went to Texas A&M.
Right.
The one that Brian Kelly fired.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get ahead of ourselves and ahead of Travis. We just found it interesting that when you really start looking at it on paper, IU has better wins than Ohio State. Period.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're going to have more than likely they're going to have an opportunity to play one another on a neutral field, and it'll all come out.
It will. Yeah, and all of it is going to come out. Like, there's no doubt.
That's the best thing about the Indiana-Ohio State thing is that if everything goes according to Hoyle, they're going to play each other.
Yep.
And we're going to find out who's going to be number one and who's going to be number two or number three.
Right.
Now, we need Notre Dame to start losing. We can't have them taking a bid. That's what I don't like.
Their best win is USC and Boise, if you want to call that a good win. And, of course,
I'd love to see Navy get them this weekend.
Yeah, golly, that's a 26.5-point spread.
I know it, man.
That's a lot of points.
What is that spread?
26.5. That's a lot of points.
I've seen Navy have really bad teams that play this game super close.
Yeah.
And I've seen Navy have really good teams that get blown
out
by mediocre.
It just happened a few years ago when I thought Navy had a chance to get them, and Notre Dame scored like the first 5 touchdowns of the ball game.
Was that the one in Ireland?
I believe it was,
Navy just, North Texas just destroyed them. They did not look good this past week.
Mm-mm. I thought it was kind of interesting that, and I would be curious to know what the, and I don't even know how you do this, but what the biggest spread has been as far as a reversal of the spread from the start of the season to now. Like, for instance, before the season started, Indiana was a 16.5-point underdog at Penn State.
Oh, wow.
They are now a 15.5-point favorite at Penn State.
Wow.
I wonder how often that's ever happened, that the line has moved 30 points in 10 weeks.
I bet maybe some of these Clemson games or some of these Florida State games have moved.
Is
that at Penn State?
It is.
So is that at night? What time is that game?
It's a nooner.
Oh, a nooner. Okay.
It's big noon.
Well, hell.
Well, that sucks because I'd really like to watch a lot of that, but noon is all about BYU Texas Tech for me. Like, that's,
what's that spread?
I'm going to watch every play in
the
that
IU
game.
Yeah.
15.5.
Yeah.
God dang it, Colin. I'm going with you. I'm going with you, Colin.
And I had actually thought if they end up making that a night game, I still think Indiana throttles them. But it at least would have given me a little bit more of a pause. I think Indiana goes in there and throttles them. But Indiana has never won a game at Happy Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They're 0 and whatever they are. Indiana has almost won there 4 or 5 times. If we had 2 more hours, I could go play-by-play of all the disgusting ways Indiana has lost games there in the past. So this game this weekend is for all those – this is for Thomas Lewis and his 99-yard touchdown reception and Indiana's linebacker falling down on the next series. It's been a house of horrors there. But I think all those demons are exercised this weekend, and I think Indiana goes out there and just beats the dog piss out of them like they have been everybody else.
Well, let's go. I agree completely. I also want to give a shout out while we're talking about games. I love how we're kind of just going all over. Kentucky. Old Kentucky pull, when they're down and out, down and out, down and out, they go to freaking Auburn at night. That place was deader than a doornail.
Look, you want to talk about a horrible football game?
Oh, my God.
That's one of the worst games I've ever seen.
I've never seen a stadium so quiet in Auburn in my life.
I want to talk about an embarrassing moment next.
It was dead
game. And it was post-game. And it was Mark Stoops acting like he had just won the damn Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
What is he doing? And, like, you got Mitch Barnhart out there on the field hugging him. Like, he's running around looking for his child to give
him
a hug.
Every UK fan's gasping going, like he was no, we got him for another year.
He's running around like he was Jimmy V in the pit.
Yes. And Eddie Grant's still out there? I haven't seen Eddie Grant in 10 years. He's out there hugging Mark Stoops. I'm like, where'd Eddie Grant come from?
Tennessee,
does he still work for UK?
Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Washington, Missouri, Michigan, 25 through 21.
Give me a break. Tennessee's done.
As we start the rankings. Well, I mean, yeah, they're done. I mean, it's a top 25.
Give a group of five team that slot.
Get up in there, Pittsburgh.
James Madison deserves that spot.
I like seeing Pittsburgh.
They have one loss.
But, of course, Hugh Freeze immediately fired after that. You can't lose to that Kentucky team at home the way they lost.
My favorite thing is, like, how he got fired.
Hey, they had Iowa 20. I have him 19th.
Did you hear how he got fired?
No.
He had a tea time for 8 a.m. that next morning at the University Country Club. And he goes there, and they're like, yeah, you're not on the books. We don't have your tea time anymore. And then he found out he was fired.
Oh, yeah.
That's how he found out. They canceled his tea time.
Yeah. An old in Kentucky gets him fired.
Doesn't even get one last round. Oh, Stoops!
Wow,
that is vicious. Yeah,
that is vicious.
Yeah,
holy smokes! Iowa comes in at 20. USC at number 19.
I like that Iowa got some.
Hey,
love
can I tell y'all something? I had USC 20, Iowa 19.
There you go.
I'm telling you, my shit's going to be close.
Let's see.
That's why I sent it out early.
You got your own metric here.
Let's see who we have at 18.
I got Utah or Notre Dame here.
They've got Miami.
Oh,
that's
God.
High.
No,
I thought Louisville was going to be down around 18.
I got Miami 24th.
That is high for Miami.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who we got coming in at
that
the
means,
17th
slot? That means one of the ACC teams are dogged out.
Georgia Tech, probably.
We're spending a lot of time talking about Miami, aren't
we? I was like, did your TV freeze?
Georgia Tech. 17.
Watch, this is going to be the ACC lump up here.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
Louisville's going to be 16. Virginia's going to be 15.
You're right. I had them a little higher. You're right. And maybe a Texas or Oklahoma mixed in there.
Texas will probably be a little bit higher.
Yeah.
Even though
Michigan's already been.
I don't want Texas in that playoff because I just don't think. Oh, Vandy.
Okay.
16.
Vandy at 16. Okay. I mean, they could conceive of if things break right. They could possibly.
There's
Louisville at 15.
I figured 18 was our floor and 13 was our ceiling.
Okay.
So.
Well, they're right there.
Yeah.
They're right there.
I'll take it.
I had you 11.
And then there's Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, they have to be right above them. Yeah. I had Virginia and UofL 10 and 11.
Okay.
And, dude, I made a mistake on here because I don't have Vandy on here for some reason. That's a mistake. I think I thought I had them 18th on here on mine. They should be.
I would imagine they're going to go to 13, which is Utah.
Okay. I like that. Yep. Get in there, Utah.
Yep.
See, that was my thing. I think Utah should have been ranked over any ACC team, and I'm glad that they got three Big 12 teams over that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is going to be Memphis.
I don't.
Next. You got to get a group of five team that has one
That's
loss.
That's high for Memphis, buddy.
Well, they haven't been mentioned yet.
Yeah.
So they got it. If they're not going to put Memphis on there at all?
No.
Well,
was there no group of five in that 25?
No.
Okay. Boy, talk about a leap right there, just going and throwing Memphis in there at 12.
I mean, They're 8-1 and but
Oklahoma.
Okay, and well then it's gonna be Oklahoma and Texas.
Yeah.
Texas is next, and that means Memphis is not in the top 25 or James Madison or North Texas.
Well, the good thing is like okay. It's just the highest okay. ranked group of five. It doesn't matter if they're 40th or 50th
This next one has to
true.
Be has
Texas.
To Texas.
Okay, so Texas. This is the Oklahoma yeah. Texas deal.
And then after this, yeah, at Notre Dame.
Notre Dame's going to be
next.
Yeah, they'll be.
Well, Notre Dame's next, and then it's easy. Oregon, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Georgia, Bama, BYU. The top 10's easy, but you know Notre Dame will get 10th. They have to.
I'm curious to see if they do put IU number one.
I am too.
Because they deserve it.
I don't think they will.
Yeah, you're probably right. But, man, when you just look at the two on paper, if you did the blind resume test, they're number one.
How I have Virginia and Louisville, and then I have Oklahoma and Texas and Oklahoma. Just because they beat each other.
There's Notre Dame.
All right, we need Notre Dame to take a loss.
And from here on out, we know what it is: Oregon, Texas Tech, Ole Miss, Georgia. I'd put $100 on it. That's how it's gonna.
God, I wish Florida would have got Georgia this weekend.
Oregon, I know.
Oregon Ducks.
While we're looking at this. They're going to take some time to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Sure they are.
Let's talk Notre about Dame. Carson Beck.
show us that USC win.
What are the what are the games? Obviously BYU and Texas Tech.
Uh-huh.
I hate that's a nooner though.
I know, dude. That has night game written
yeah,
all over it.
That should be a night game.
The tortillas flying around. It's just yeah.
That should be a night game. What other games on the slate are sticking out to you? I mean,
Texas A&M, Missouri for sure.
Yep.
Oh,
Texas
yeah.
A&M could easily take a loss here. That's if Bo Prabhula plays, which I'm assuming he is, coming off of a bye week.
There's Oregon.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's easy. Texas Tech's next, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, BYU, A&M, and then either Indiana or Ohio State. You know they're going to put Ohio State first.
I believe that they will. No, yeah, Texas A&M, that's going to be a battle. Like
yeah.
you said, depending on the health of the Missouri quarterback. That spread right now is Missouri a 7-point underdog at home.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, man, is
Georgia, which I've been outspoken about this, but they've got the resume to prove it. Them going to Mississippi State
is tricky.
It's very tricky. That's an 8.5-point spread, I believe. Little preview, I'm on the dogs.
spoiler alert, so am I.
The real dogs. That's going to be wild. And this is another one that I wish was a night game. Like, I hate.
Tech. There you go.
You know, Starkville
yep.
At noon.
I wish the Oregon-Iowa game was a night at Kinnick. And I know that they do, too.
Yeah.
But that's a 3:30 game, and
our night games aren't the best this week. I mean, LSU at Bama, you know, I get
yeah.
it.
LSU at Bama.
That was supposed to be a great game.
It
yeah.
was, and like I said earlier on our text thread, you know, they could have kept Brian Kelly for another two or three games, but they need a mix-up before they play Alabama. That's a spoiler alert they can put on their year. This coach, whoever it is, I'm sure all the players love him. They're going to play way more free. They're not going to. You think those players are going to be pissed because Brian Kelly's gone?
Well,
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it.
After what I heard from him leaving, did you hear anybody say anything good about him?
No, we talked about it.
And I'm with you. I like the whole idea of like firing a coach just to get your team hyped up for Bama. But
I'm not saying Bama, but I'm just saying
that's
they're
going to
play
earlier.
Better. They're going to play loose.
And I think what this was that Brian Kelly got in a complete argument with the assistant AD that was, you know, unrepairable. So they're like, all right, we're done with this. So I don't know if that was – they could have been playing, you know, the 85 Bears
maybe,
the following week.
But trust me, I've seen it. happen before at LSU. I've seen it happen at Auburn.
Well, just being in the ACE or the SEC
I've
for that
long.
I've seen
Bama fire their coach
that all the time.
Before the Iron Bowl before. It's happened. It happens.
Yeah, and guess what, Fred?
What?
It's not going to make a damn bit of difference in this ball game on Saturday night. Alabama is going to smoke, roll,
coming off a bye
destroy,
week.
Destroy. Whatever
well,
they, you want to say.
They're on a bye, too.
Yeah, they're on a bye where they're like, what the hell?
Indiana all number right. two, Ohio State number one. Just,
right. I'm going to tell
like
y'all right
thought.
Now that this is not going to be a blowout. I'm just going to tell you that. We don't have to get into it, but I've seen this game before, and it's not going to be a blowout. There, we've got like four players that transferred there. This is not going to be a blowout.
Yeah, 41-13. Anyway...
We're going to talk about it for 15 minutes if it's close next week.
Well, quite frankly, I don't really care that much about it, to be honest. So I probably won't even watch that game. But if it's on in the background, maybe I'll catch it a little bit because I don't think it's going to be much of a ball game. Anything else that is that's kind of because there's really not. Outside of those, not a lot of big-time matchups, right?
I mean, you could see it's not big-time, but it could have playoff implications, is Wake Forest, who's been playing actually pretty decent football, and I hate admitting that.
But they, but
they're playing
their last game, they got drummed.
They're playing
game.
At Virginia, which Virginia's just dying to get beat. So that could have some sort of playoff implication. Well, did we talk about Oregon, Iowa?
I think Virginia's going to drum them to them because Wake Forest beat SMU, and then they got their heads bashed in the last game.
Yeah.
I don't think – by a horrible team.
Yeah.
I see Virginia coming on track and finally winning one at home big.
I just think
that.
Virginia's not a good football team.
I'm going to look at a 6-3 team versus a 7-1 team that still is involved in the that could be involved in the rankings. San Diego State, 7-1 at 6-3. Hawaii, last game on the slate. I just want to say it's going to be fun. I love that late game.
And I know they just got beat.
It's not on ESPN.
We didn't mention Tulane and Memphis play Friday night.
Oh,
like
no,
I know Tulane
I was
just got beat.
Mention it.
But
oh,
yeah,
oh,
that's
it's huge.
Yeah, it's a monster game. We'll
it's
see how
huge.
Tulane comes back from that.
It's huge. Well, I'm going to tell you, Tuna, that Memphis is at home and they're going to destroy them.
Well, you lost money on Tulane last week, as did I. So you just automatically hate their guts now.
I do.
Some people look at it as a chance to regroup and go out and beat a conference rival that's kind of leading the pack. And some people look at it as like, they're bums because they lost me money.
No,
so,
well, not lost money. They played like shit.
They did. And every team that we've mentioned has played like shit this year
at some point.
I know. So,
I just think Memphis is a much better football team than Tulane is right now.
Yeah. South Florida, I watched them just manhandle Memphis. So
that game, they put a lot of points on the board, both of them. I mean, that wasn't a blowout.
Byron Brown dominated that game in every fashion.
Yeah.
But I don't think this is a pushover here. I think Tulane could easily win this game at Memphis.
No, it's not a pushover. It is not a pushover.
And like we talked about before, that Oregon-Iowa game is going to be fantastic. It's very interesting to me because this will be the second most physical defense that Oregon has played yet this year. Probably the second best coach defense that they will play this year. The question becomes, can Iowa slow down Oregon enough that their offense can keep up? Because I think at Iowa, I think they have coaches that can scheme the game well enough for them to win. I think they have players on defense good enough that they, but it, and it also depends which Oregon team shows up, because Oregon has looked at some points this year like one of the most dynamic offenses in the country. And at some points this year, they have looked very pedestrian. So
I think they're ready, Travis.
That's a, that's a big matchup. Now, a couple of guys that I listen to during the week, these Big Ten guys are convinced that Oregon is going to go in there and boat race them. I will be shocked if that happens.
Me too.
I'll be shocked if that happens. Mm-hmm. Not saying it can't, but it would very much surprise me. Any other games that we've neglected to talk about here?
We've hit them, buddy. We have hit them.
I believe we have. Anything else we need to get to before I call last call tonight? Oh, Fred, did you want to say something quickly about the Breeders' Cup, or were you going to do
well,
that?
Oh, well, what a race.
And are we going to wait for these last five to come out?
Oh, yeah.
Before well,
end
it?
I'll talk Breeders'
yeah,
real
talk
quick.
Breeders' Cup.
Dude, me. Well, just
they already did come out.
The top five?
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
And
I
it went just like we thought it would.
All right. Sorry about that.
No. There they are.
Yeah, I see.
Well, Tuna's horse won again.
This is a Japanese weekend,
dude,
man.
Forever Young. I'm telling you, dude. Forever Young.
It's
that
a rising
horse,
sun, buddy.
That trainer has done has made all the right decisions with that horse. What a race. Of course, we wish Sovereignty would have been in there. Tuna, your 16,000 to one shot did not win.
Well, that's
either.
A shame. Did he finish the race?
He did finish the race.
I think that should be illegal.
And last.
That,
yeah, that you can put in your stablemate to,
like what,
chase.
Did he even do anything to qualify for it? Like, what?
No.
You could just be like, you know what? I got this nag. I'm going to put it in the race to help
I have not looked into that, but I did not know that that was necessarily
horse
possible.
Horse racing
you didn't
to a
have
team right there,
some
buddy.
Some sort of resume to get in.
Yeah, like,
no.
Can I just, like, go to my grandma's farm and I have $5 million and go, I'd like to put old Nelly in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Just start running into horses, like,
we're
going to
put Randall L in. I named him Randall L.
Yeah.
By the way, I mean, I'm not sure. I am tooting my own horn. Folks, did anyone jump on board with Freddie? Because I hit the superfecta, and I gave it to you last week. I gave you two options, the 1579 or the 2579. I said you're either going to put Fierceness in with the other three that went 1, 2, and 3, or you're going to put Beza in. Well, I did both. And luckily I did, because Fierceness ended up being that other horse. And I won $417 on a $48 bet.
Nice.
So, UK Bill, kudos to him. He followed me. So that's one of our listeners that did win that easy money.
Awesome.
But betting the Breeders' Cup, other races, I'll never do it ever again. It's virtually impossible. I mean, Friday and Saturday, trying to bet race, unless you have tips from somebody, you see Baffert's name, you see Brad Cox's name, nope, got no chance against some of these Irish horses.
Fred.
And it's insane.
I bet the first.
Oh, wait a minute, Travis won.
Well, I bet the first race when they came on television on Friday.
Yeah. Tell me you hit it.
I hit the trifecta. And guess what?
What?
I lost $7.
Oh, horse racing needs to go to fixed odds betting.
Yeah.
I mean, it really does, dude.
But Breeders' Cup is just so hard, dude.
Yeah.
It's like half of those horses, I don't even know who the hell they are. They're from shipped from all over the place. Hell, even the one horse, Travis, the horse got upset. What's the name? That has won all those races. They called it the biggest upset of Breeders' Cup. Some horse came in and won, and the guy that won it, they interviewed the trainer, and he's like, oh, my God, you just upset this horse that has won so many Breeders' Cup races in a row, and this is his last one. And then he goes, well, truly, this wasn't my best win ever. It was the Rantham Cup. And Britain, they totally blew them off. They're like, well, come on, dude. Like, what the hell? Anyways, it was a huge upset. If I said the name, you would know it. I can't remember who it is. Anyways, Breeders' Cup is over. Now we're going back in, Tuna, on all of our – we've got Derby preps every weekend moving forward here after about 3 weeks. So
that starts early.
Yes.
All right, guys. Well, with all that being said, and since we are in the downstairs pub, an erstwhile bar, and I am your bartender tonight, I am going to call last call. We're going to get final thoughts from the guys and their five picks for this weekend, including the one pick that each of us will put for our TikTok picks, which I understand went 2-2-1 this week.
Did we mention our picks?
I'm getting ready to. Fred and Colin, a very respectable 3-2 this week. Tuna, a not terrible 2-3. And your host and moderator for the second week in a row brings up the caboose at 1-4. It brings our season-long tally against the spread to 169-1. Tuna,
all
last
right.
Call.
I'm going to get into picks here. Now that baseball season's over with, and that I'm getting some sleep and going to be well rested, and I'm able to focus more on these games and spend more time. It's time to get back on the winning side.
Yes.
And I'm going to kick this off with a 5-0 week.
Oh,
just to get right back where
I
need to get.
I love it.
And then we're going to do some oddball stuff here, some stuff that you think might sound a little crazy. Mm. We're going to go Texas Tech to cover the 10 at home against BYU. Noon game.
Wow.
In Lubbock, Texas. Tortillas all over the place. Give me the Raiders to cover. I'm going to take Iowa to cover against Big Bad Dan Lanning and the Oregon Schmucks. And plus 6.5. Then I'm going to take Cal to cover the 20.5 against Louisville. I don't understand the spread. It's Isaac Brown is out, in case you have not heard, so the unthinkable has happened. He is not going to play for probably about 3 weeks.
Mm.
Season might be over unless we get into the playoffs. On the plus side, I think Duke Watson is practicing this week. That said, I cannot see Louisville covering 20.5 against anybody, much less a conference opponent. Then I'm going to go a little outside the box here. Mm-hmm. Something like SMU had the big emotional win over Miami. Boston College, their little running quarterback has actually looked halfway decent lately.
Yeah.
I'm taking SMU to cover the 10.5 on the road at Boston College. I was leaning Boston College into this. And then after going back and rewatching some of that game, I really like the way that this SMU team is playing defense right now. Kevin Jennings does look a little bit banged up. I don't know if he's dealing with something. He's not as dynamic as he usually is. But their defense has really been making it up. I'm going to take SMU to cover this 10.5. Then we're going to go down to Starkville for a game against a Georgia team that I think is not as good as their record shows, and take them to cover the 8.5. And that is it for me.
All right, Freddie, last call.
Okay, last call. I don't want to get into a big discussion, but it sure did suck on Sunday night to see one of our most talented quarterbacks in at the end of a game, 38-7. You can't really swing it either way with about 7 minutes left in the game, but to see Jaden Daniels go down like he did was a total bummer.
Yeah, it was brutal.
I know that all the coaches on each side, there is no wrong or right there. I just don't – I heard different opinions on how that goes, and there's just no wrong or right. The only thing that sucks is that he's gone, and hopefully he has a full recovery after that horrific shoulder elbow injury. Also wanted to say, hey, this is kind of funny. I know for a fact that when we went through all of our conference futures, we had one team in dead last. and they are now leading the conference. We had Virginia dead last in the ACC, and can you believe that they are 8-1, 5-0 in the conference and leading the ACC? I just want to say,
I think that says more about the conference than it
does. Well, whatever it says, and you play the football games, give the coach credit,
you're right.
Give the team credit.
Hooray, Tony Elliott.
Tony Elliott has,
and I believe
is looking for a new job.
Phil Steele had Virginia finishing dead last, I believe.
Oh, I think so.
So I think we just jumped on because we were like, the bottom of the conference doesn't even matter. We've got Phil Steele has UVA finishing last. How do you guys feel? We're like, yeah, probably.
I still believe that they should finish last.
But kudos to him. Okay, on to my kudos to Virginia Cavaliers. I got my picks
the
starting
the king of the
50-50
games.
Oh. Of course, we're going to go into my – did I not – okay. Yeah, we're going to go into my first pick, which is the Memphis Tigers, -5, at home, the Pyramid, baby, versus Tulane.
They're playing at the Bass Pro Shop.
Memphis is getting ready to go 9-0, and they are going to roll, folks.
I can't
wait
to see Liberty Land on a Friday night in November. The cold, sad eyes.
Travis, where is my North Texas team? I guess they're on a bye. Total bummer.
You're really going to be rocking the North Texas gear after Memphis loses you money this week.
Okay, then we're going to go to Delaware, Tuna's favorite party capital of the world. Delaware's where he goes fishing sometimes.
The knockoff Michigans.
We are going to take a hot Louisiana Tech team -5 at Delaware. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've been keeping tabs on them.
Yeah, no, I actually like that bet.
Okay, a team that I've been winning with, and I'm going to continue to go with them at home, Arizona. They're just winning ball games. -5 at home versus Kansas, a team that is mediocre at best.
They're done. They've got so many injuries on defense right now, I believe.
Right, and I just see this Wake Forest team that just got trounced. I'm gonna finally see a Virginia team who saw their name in the top 25 tonight. -6.5, a touchdown. They are going to win by 17.
Who is that, Fred?
Virginia.
I don't think I've disliked two teams that play each other.
Bad as I want to take BYU +10, and I will later on, I think I'm going to go with – I am going to go with them. BYU getting 10. Are you kidding me? Let's go. BYU at Texas A&M. I hate to go against my Texas A&M team, but Tuna and I love
Texas
so many.
Tech.
Our Texas Tech. We love so many Big 12 teams. We're going to have to bet against one or two eventually. Mm. By the way, I have my Big 12 sweatshirt coming in. What was the saying?
I don't know. You sent me like 80 of them. Which one should I get?
The Big 12. Well,
we
just,
don't give a
no,
shit.
I'm making it. The Big 12. We don't give a shit. The Big 12 Conference. We don't give a shit. That's what I like. All right. Those are my picks, buddy. And then my main one. Oh, easy. Louisiana Tech. -5 at Delaware.
Oh, my main pick for the TikTok reel is the Cal +20.5.
All right. Colin is taking Memphis.
Let's go. Let's go.
He is taking. Oh, boy. This
I can't wait to hear
this.
Think he does this sometime to get us riled.
Yeah, he definitely does.
This is bordering. This may be worse than Minnesota Michigan State last week. He's taking Rutgers to cover the 1.5 against Maryland.
No, no, no. That is the biggest toss-up game I've ever seen in my life.
That's why everybody wants their ESPN back on YouTube so bad, because we're stuck watching this shit.
He is taking the Notre Dame-Navy game to go over 55.5. Over 55.5. Okay. This is another awful game. He's taking UCLA to cover the 1.5 against Nebraska.
Nebraska, without Dylan Raiola.
I just love this, the idea of like picturing how people spend college football Saturday, watching all these games, and he's watching the basement of the Big Ten, just like hanging on to every
or
play.
He's doing what Freddie does. He's just waiting to see the ticker come across.
No, I think he's just locked into these games.
And, of course, his final pick, he's taking Indiana to cover the 15.5 against Penn State. Quickly, I did want to mention, we've brushed on it a few times tonight, but ESPN and YouTube TV, please get your shit together. I mean, it's so irritating. We've all got all these different streams. We're all trying to watch games that we want to watch. Like Tuna said, I don't want to watch Rutgers and Maryland play on a Big Ten network. I want to watch these games on ESPN.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to pay $30 extra a month. Somebody figure it out. Although I did
and
think
somebody try to figure it out.
I tell
try,
you what I think's
right?
gonna happen. This is just a guess. I think the NFL is gonna step in and be like, what the hell? They're gonna look at their viewership numbers for Monday night, and it's gonna be the lowest that the NFL has been in probably 20-25 years. And they're probably gonna be like, look, ESPN, if you wanna keep Monday night football,
yeah,
you know, you're going to fix this or we're out. Because, I mean, let's be honest. We all love college football. SEC can't go to the ESPN and tell them what to do.
No,
NFL can go to the president and tell him what to do right now. So
there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That's actually a great call, Tuna. here's my picks. I'm taking Ohio State to cover 29.5 against Purdue.
There you go.
I think that game might be 48-3 or something thereabouts. I'm taking Vandy to cover the 6.5 against Auburn.
Yes.
I am also taking Mississippi State to cover the 8.5 against Georgia. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Bama to easily cover the 10 against LSU. And this game, I've vacillated back and forth on this game a couple of times.
We'll give you one if you need one.
But I am taking Virginia
to
cover the 6.5 against Wake Forest.
Yeah, we're together on that.
Wakey leaks.
Wake is over week.
My TikTok pick this week is Vanderbilt.
Yes.
To bounce back.
All
right. We'll get Collins from him, and it will be put on the TikTok. Freddie, when does that TikTok usually go out so people
TikTok,
know to look
been,
at
we've
it?
We've been doing that on Thursday night. My producer was out of town this past Thursday, so we had to do it on Friday night. But it will definitely be either Thursday or Friday. Look for it. She's great at finding popping it out there where everybody can see it. Just be looking for
and all you have to
TikTok
do right
video.
Is just go on TikTok and type in blockout sports pod.
Yes,
I like when you text and said my TikTok team's out of town right now.
He's
my team.
He has a team.
Yes,
he has a team.
I have a camera guy. I have a and someone that works all the magic on actually piecing it together.
Who does the makeup?
I would love to say that I do it all on a first take, but that is not always true. And of course,
we have a little fun with you making a TikTok reel.
Because because just so everybody knows, we have actually done it, and actually Jody, our past guy in here, Jody helped us out with our last one. Want to thank him for doing the filming on that. But we usually are watching football games all night, the NFL game, so we're having have a little fun when we do that video around 10 o'clock at night after my family's already in bed. In the garage bar, of course.
So this text that Colin sent, is he saying that he doesn't want to bet on the Memphis game? It just says no Memphis.
Oh, no. He meant no Memphis ranked in the
okay.
Yeah, and guess what? How great minds think alike. Freddie said the same thing.
Yep. So,
give the group of five. That's why I'm wearing my North Texas hat. Give the group of five some love.
So let's think about the fact that Freddie, like, I can't wait to see what he's going to be wearing next week. Will it be his Big 12? Will it be another group of five? Will he adopt a new NFL team?
You knew we were in costume, right? Jack Harlow was our special guest. Did you all see
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay. No, yes.
I haven't seen
well,
it.
Well, I sent it to you.
I miss. Do you send a lot of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
I'm at work during the day.
By the way, I can't
read messages that
today,
are 4 inches
and I've
long.
Turned over a new leaf where I am going to be positive.
You said that like 2 weeks
ago.
Yeah, it lasted like 12 minutes.
No, I have turned over to no more complaining on Sundays.
I mute you on Sundays. Now.
I know you do.
Like, you could be
I know you
some
do.
Serious stuff happen.
I
would have no idea.
I think all three of y'all have your own text thread now.
I don't. That, like, I don't, but like. I just
want y'all to know I've turned over a new leaf, and I'm going to be nothing but positive moving forward, even with all this ESPN rigmarole. So, which has gotten me all worked up. But
I think our text group is your personal venting line.
Like, not anymore.
Just,
it's not.
You're like, I need to vent.
And
let's go
to
this
one.
I was
thinking
of
that one. And I'm not going to do that anymore. I really had a come to Jesus moment with myself where I'm going to be positive. It's not helping my betting. So, let's see what happens.
So, the biggest update next week will be how long Freddie's new leaf turn stays turned.
Yeah.
Can't
if
wait.
He comes down here in a James Madison hat, I'm going to throw him out.
No, I will not.
No, it should be great next week. We will be back next Tuesday. I guess they do the update. They update
Tuesday
the,
night
the thing.
Every Tuesday
so
night.
We should be here next Tuesday night with another live reaction. We'll see if anything moves based on what happens this weekend. Don't forget to look up Freddie's TikTok reels on probably Fridays from now. Just type in Blockout Sports Pod on your TikTok, however you find that. I don't know. Freddie sends it to me. That's how I watch it. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kempf, and the mean, green, fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.